Welcome to the Transition Wild podcast, the home for those looking for expertise and inspiration on all things Western big game hunting. I'm your host, Adam Parr, and you're listening to episode number 17, where we talk with Fred Turner of the Colorado Bowhunters Association. Hello, hello. How's everyone doing? I'm having a great day. I hope you're having a great day as well, because that's what I like to hear, because I'm a positive person. And I like positivity in my life, because that's what life is all about, being positive and being happy. And you know what makes me happy? Hunting. I like to hunt, in case you didn't know. What have I been doing lately? Let's see. Oh, so I've been out shed hunting recently. Colorado shed hunting season didn't start till May 1st. So I've been out the last couple weeks. Haven't found a ton, but I've been able to get out a few times and pick up a few sheds here and there. Picked up a couple deer sheds, one or two elk sheds. Always fun to do that, and it gives me a good excuse to get outside and get some exercise and some fresh air, so I love that. Hope you guys are doing the same, whether you're turkey hunting or scouting or doing whatever. I hope you're out there having fun and loving life. Another thing I like about shed hunting this time of year, at least for this year, I signed up for a half marathon, which will be mid-August. So I've got, I don't know, like 3 months to train. And I have been training lately. I've been trying to run 10 to 15 miles a week just to kind of get in the swing of things. I absolutely hate running. I don't know about you guys, but it's never been one of my strong suits. But my kind of thought process was, hey, if I sign up for this half marathon, it'll get me motivated to run more, which will then put me in a better position for elk hunting as far as being in better shape, because I can be fat and lazy sometimes. So this is good for me. This is good for Adam. So that's what I got going on. It can be brutal, and where the race is going to take, or where the half marathon is going to take place, is going to be about 8,000 feet elevation. So that should be interesting nonetheless. So that's kind of my motivation lately to not be a lazy person and put on some miles. So I'll keep you posted on that as I continue down this road, and looking forward to doing that race mid-August. So we'll see what happens. So, recently I sent out an email to my subscribers. If you haven't subscribed to my email list, make sure you do. You get a free copy. What do I offer right now? It's the 5 Western DIY hunts for under $1,000 for you and a friend. So that's pretty cool. If you're planning a trip and looking to go on a Western hunt, not a bad thing to grab. And a lot of good resources and information that I put together in that guide. So go subscribe. It's free. I'll send it to you after you give me your email. And anyways, what was I going with that? Oh, so recently I sent out an email to my subscribers saying, hey, you know, if you like the podcast, leave us a review. And I had some people leave a review. A really good one was from Magstar67. And I'll read you it. It says, I'm from the Midwest, but looking to elk hunt in the next few years. So just collecting points and educating myself on everything elk. The Transition Wild podcast is a great resource for the info I'm looking for, since Adam has transitioned to Western hunting as well. So Magstar67, thanks for the review. I really appreciate it. You will be getting a Transition Wild logo hat sent to you for free. So send me, if you're listening to this, send me a note with your contact or your address and information where I can send you your free hat. Again, much appreciated. So wink, wink, if you do leave a review, you might be selected to get some free gear coming your way. So definitely appreciate that. Anybody who's reached out to me, and really appreciate the reviews. And make sure you're doing that on the Western Big Game feed of the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network. There's two feeds, the Whitetail feed, but I'm on the Western Big Game Hunting. So make sure if you're going to leave a review for me, leave a review on that one. Much, much appreciated. So thanks again for listening. Today's show, we have Fred Turner with Colorado Bowhunters Association. I met Fred about a month and a half ago here in Eagle, where I was doing a local show with Quiet Cap, and had a good conversation with Fred. I joined the association, and I think it's just a really cool group. And you know, just keep in mind, I mean, yes, it is Colorado Bowhunters Association, but if you hunt in Colorado, if you've been here, you know, plan on hunting here in the future, these guys are doing a lot of work to really preserve the bow hunting heritage that we all love, and a lot of that money goes towards lobbying to, you know, to keep us, you know, to be able to keep what we're doing there. So it's a good organization to be a part of. It's a relatively cheap membership, and you know, it all goes back to a good cause. So even if you don't live in Colorado, it's just a good organization to be a part of. And we talk about some of the events they're doing. They do these target 3D shooting events where, you know, it's a camping weekend. You go there, friends and family, shoot your bow and have fun and go on these 3D courses. It's really cool. So Fred's a good guy. He's very interesting and definitely a learning experience for me, and be able to learn more about this organization that literally is right here in my backyard. So hope you guys enjoy this one. And we won't hesitate anymore. I've rambled for long enough. So let's get Fred Turner of the Colorado Bowhunters Association on the line. All right, we have with us today Fred Turner of the Colorado Bowhunters Association. How are you doing today, Fred?
I'm doing great, thanks, Adam. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, certainly. Love. Been excited to have you on since we had met. When did we meet? About a month ago, early April, here in Eagle, Colorado. We did a Western Colorado Sportsman's Expo, and Quiet Cat was exhibiting, and you weren't too far away from our booth, so it's good to catch up after our initial meeting.
Yes, we were putting on a archery event for adults and mostly for kids. We have a trailer that we were able to put together that people can shoot 3D animal targets at. It's fun to watch the kids, especially.
Yeah. Well, it got me over to the booth because anytime you're firing bows off in an area where I see a shiny new object like a bow or a recurve, you caught my eye and got me over there. So whatever you're doing is working.
Thanks.
Yeah, one of the guys at the booth, he works for Quiet Cat, but he's not much of a hunter, and he's like, I've never shot a bow before. So I was like, well, I think they're shooting bows over there. So took Chase over, and he actually got to shoot a bow for the first time. So that was kind of neat to see him do that. Is that something that you guys do at every kind of show if you guys are exhibiting?
Actually, Adam, that's the first one we've done on the Western Slope with this trailer.
Okay.
We have been doing it for, I would say, maybe 4 or 5 years or more at the ISE show in Denver. That's usually held in early January.
Yep.
And so it was evolved from that, I would suppose.
Got it.
And we're planning on doing that at as many events as we can. A lot of it depends on volunteers. We're totally a volunteer organization, so we're somewhat limited by what we can do by how many volunteers we can get to put these events on.
Got it. That makes sense. So yeah, obviously we're having you on the show today to kind of talk about Colorado Bowhunters Association. And if you wouldn't mind, Fred, if you would just give kind of a rundown of what CBA is and, you know, what your involvement is with the organization and kind of just give us a rundown, bigger picture of what's going on with the Colorado Bowhunters Association.
Sure, be happy to. It's there's a lot to it. Like I said, we are volunteers, totally volunteers, and we have about 20 members that sit on the board of directors. I'm the West Region Director. My region goes from Summit County, Frisco, Breckenridge area, all the way to basically the Utah state line and Grand Junction down to Montrose. A huge area, but great hunting area, right?
For sure.
So, so I basically sit on the board, and we support a mission basically to encourage and perpetuate the sport of bow hunting for all legal game, really. We protect and improve and increase the opportunities for hunting with the handheld bow. And a lot of it is we use a lot of our membership money to pay for a lobbyist at the state house. And we have a legislative liaison also that pays attention to what's going on at the federal level as well. And we have issues, as a lot of hunters know, even at a metropolitan level or a city level, concerning hunting and what's allowed, what's not. Excuse me. We're basically been around since 1969. We're recognized by the state legislature for issues regarding hunting, especially hunting with a bow. And that carries over also into the education side of things as far as trying to involve the Bow Hunters Association, like the shooting the trailer, the shoot trailer and other events like that.
Got it.
Like I mentioned, there is a lot to it. The history is long, and it's one of the probably the major hunting organizations that Colorado Parks and Wildlife looks to and works with to develop hunting and opportunities for hunting in the state. So we do have a very close relationship also with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, which I'm personally involved with, and it's really been fun.
Got it. So is Colorado Bow Hunters Association more of like a, do you feel like more of the lobbyist side of the group, or is it more of like bow hunter education and kind of promoting bow hunting as a lifestyle and as a tradition, or is it kind of a mix of both?
It is a mix of both, but we are certainly concentrating on the lobbyist side of things lately in the last 4 years or so since I've been on the board. There's a lot of issues that are hitting us as hunters really very fast, where sometimes we're required to respond in 24 hours. I mean, it's that kind of stuff going on. And so that has been a big push. But we do have a lot of events too, where we hold 3D shoots throughout the state. In my region, or our region, or the West region, we have 3 planned this year, plus the Jamboree, which is a huge 3-day event that people just love to attend, and very popular statewide.
Yeah.
So we do that, those types of events with very expensive 3D animal targets that simulate hunting situations. And it's kind of like a golf course. It's really a lot of fun, where we set up different types of shots,
yeah,
different types of distances, and different types of techniques required.
Got it. Yeah, and we'll definitely cover that and kind of talk about the particulars of the events and everything here in a bit. But I was curious when you were talking about kind of the lobbying and, you know, kind of being that voice for, you know, basically sticking up for bow hunters. What are some of those issues that are kind of at the forefront right now that you guys are kind of tackling and dealing with in current day?
Currently, probably there's a couple of things we're working on. One is we're trying to possibly introduce another wild turkey hunting season that would be archery only, that hopefully would be a week to 10 days long before the opening current season. We're looking into that and have presented some information on that to Parks and Wildlife. History-wise, most recently was the approval of the lighted nocks and being able to use video cameras on a bow. That was also approved by the CBA. Most of these, and then there's probably the biggest issue right now as far as people getting people's hackles up is the wolf issue.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of meetings going on the Western Slope that I've been aware of, and I attended one in Carbondale. Oh, it's probably 2 months ago now. There is supposed to be another big event coming up in the Aspen area sometime this fall that I think sportsmen should be aware of to look for this. And it's kind of a round table, if you will, where they're trying to meet or get all of the interested people, pro and anti-wolf, together and discuss some of the issues. That should be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
By the way, I thought the blog you had on the wolf issue, I've forgotten the biologist's name. Anyway,
John Keener.
I thought it was well done. Yes. I thought it was well done and passed it on to my board, by the way.
Oh, awesome.
Because that was, and if we haven't seen, or I haven't been able to come across, some strong information from a biologist that potentially doesn't have as much influence as some of what we hear otherwise.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I appreciate you doing that. Yeah, it was that whole situation was I kind of just like threw myself into it, I guess. I didn't really know what I was getting into. I was coming back from Michigan and on a flight, and I flew back into Eagle, and I saw the Rocky Mountain Wolf Project as a billboard or something in the airport, and I was like, huh. So I wanted to have them on the board or on the show just to kind of get their perspective on it and what they're pushing and the reintroduction and everything. And then as a follow-up, I did that one with John Keener, and it was definitely interesting because I was just trying to educate myself first and foremost, and it just kind of spawned into a couple different shows, and I don't think it's done yet. I don't have any other episodes planned currently, but it's something that's not going away, and like you said, I think it's something that everybody should be aware of.
Oh yeah. Excuse me. And I have been around it for, oh gosh, for maybe 8 years, as far as being aware of a nasty situation that's been going on in Idaho, Montana,
yep.
Wyoming. And we've been pretty lucky. Excuse me.
Yeah.
We've been pretty lucky from the standpoint of not having the wolves introduced into this state.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I'm seeing that now. I mean, the way that for people who are listening, if you haven't listened to that episode, you should go back a few episodes. It's the episode with John Keener. Definitely listen to that because it is eye-opening, and he kind of presents a rebuttal to a lot of stuff that the Rocky Mountain Wolf Project presented and kind of more accurately and unbiasedly presented to us as what the potential effects could be. So it's definitely interesting, but it's scary at the same time to know that there are groups out there that are pushing for this, but yet they don't realize the impacts it could have long term.
There's a lot of money involved, and unfortunately, it's so much money that we have to really look hard, as this biologist mentioned, to convince the 80% that really don't care either way, that not doing something about the issue is not a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, hopefully conversations like this will help spread the awareness and get people on board for the future and what's to come ahead. So that's interesting that you guys are working on that. What's your takeaway on crossbows? Is Colorado Bowhunters Association, are they kind of for crossbows? Are they against crossbows? Are they kind of in the middle? What's the whole situation with that?
Well, the crossbow, as far as the CBA is concerned, has no place in the big game arena. It is, and we have no problem with it being used, you know, during the rifle seasons and so forth. But basically, it's a situation where the crossbow in the western states, when you're shooting long range, compared to the eastern states, to some degree, where the crossbow is legal to hunt with, and I can talk about that in another minute here, but in other states, but in the state of Colorado, and along with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, they fully agree also that there's just no place for a crossbow in the big game seasons. And the reason for it primarily is the skill level that's required to shoot a bow compared to the skill level that's required to shoot a crossbow. And it's all about the strength factor. And there is a lot of practice involved to get good enough to be able to kill an animal ethically with a bow and have enough power behind the bow, you know, to kill the bow, to kill an animal ethically.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, it makes sense.
That's where is a really strong policy of ours that we will defend that tooth and nail for sure. And Parks and Wildlife is definitely on our side as well. There's no problem with it, again, using them for a small game. That's the other area that they're legal in the state of Colorado. And again, I have no problem. We don't have any problem with that, the CBA.
Yeah.
Again, it's primarily focused on the big game seasons, elk, moose, bear, cats. Although, I don't know, probably mountain lion, you can kill them with a crossbow. That's probably legal. But
yeah,
that's basically where we're at.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, that when I had Colorado Parks and Wildlife on this podcast, that was one of the issues or one of the topics we talked about, or some of the legalities of certain equipment, and crossbows was one of those topics. And yeah, I think it totally makes sense. I mean, it's one of those things where it is an advantage. You can shoot farther distances. The skill level isn't the same. And yeah, use it during the rifle season and get out there with the guns and put yourself on that playing field. But at the same time, for the people who do have a disability or, you know, along those lines, it is legal. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Yeah. And we are in support of that as well. Yeah, absolutely. For somebody that's disabled and is approved by Colorado Parks and Wildlife process, yeah, that's no problem.
For sure. Cool. Well, Fred, what I kind of wanted to dive into your background a little bit. Where are you from originally? Did you grow up hunting? What kind of got you involved with bow hunting in general? Just give us a background on growing up and how you got to where you're at today.
Well, I grew up in New England and basically had a lot of experience with camping and hiking through Boy Scouts, through my family. I had four brothers. And my hunting started when I was 15. I was the only one in my brothers that wanted to hunt. And my parents didn't hunt, but my mother, growing up on a farm in northern New York, was familiar with hunting, and her brothers hunted. So I got to go with them when I was 15. And so I hunted whitetail deer when I was 15. I think of that first one I shot maybe when I was 16. It was gun hunting. And I didn't really think much about bow hunting other than I really liked archery through Boy Scouts and other outdoor camps and stuff, and I picked it up and stayed with archery, even though I continued to hunt with a gun. And I did a lot of bird shooting as well, upland game, I guess, primarily, and a lot of waterfowl when I was younger. I started bow hunting about 33 years ago, and joined the Bow Hunters Association, I think it was sometime early 1990s. And just as a member, I didn't really participate much. I just could see the value of having an organization represent me and protect the right to bow hunt. And over time, I've been very fortunate to be able to do a lot of out-of-state hunting, primarily in Nebraska and Kansas. I love to whitetail deer hunt. Lately, I've started to do some turkey hunting, which has really been fun.
Nice.
And I've shot a lot of big game here in the state, elk, deer, a mountain lion. I killed a bear in Idaho. These are all bow kills. And recently, I went to New Zealand and hunted some, had some fabulous time. I shot a huge red stag and a tar with a gun and a fallow deer. So
wow.
I've been around the world. I've hunted in Newfoundland also for moose. So I've been really enjoying myself hunting. A lot of my outdoor experience too came from when I was young. I was on a trail crew for the Appalachian Mountain Club in the state of New Hampshire for two summers. I think it was the last year of high school and the first year of college. We literally spent every week out in the woods all summer. So I got a lot of experience being out in the woods. And then I also did a lot of backpacking when I moved here to Colorado to go to school at CSU when I was 18 to be a forest ranger. That didn't happen. So anyway, I ended up getting a degree from a business degree from the University of Denver and was in the restaurant business and for a long time. And now I'm retired.
Got it. Got it. Now that leaves you more time for hunting.
Exactly. And I've been doing that.
So are you a compound guy? Are you into traditional or do you do a little bit of both?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's the other part of bow hunting is there are three different types of bows, and two of them are very traditional, the recurve and the long bow, and like you mentioned, the compound bow. I like to hunt and have been hunting with a compound bow, that's the only bow I've been hunting with. Though recently, and when I was young, I shot a long bow, but recently I had to have a whole bunch of shoulder stuff going on, and I've kind of picked up the longbow and a recurve to build strength back, and I found it very challenging, and I really enjoy it. So I have shoot all three now, but I have been hunting just with a compound. But I would love to now, I'm challenged myself to where I would love to shoot a deer or an elk with a longbow, but I have to get a lot better than I am right now.
Yeah, it's that's a different world altogether, and it's one I'm finding myself getting back into. I actually kind of got not big into traditional, but I was fairly for about a year. I was shooting one pretty regularly, and I got good enough where I felt confident to be able to whitetail hunt with it when I lived in Michigan. But when I moved to Colorado, I was borrowing that bow. When I moved, I gave it back and I kind of got out of it. Recently I purchased a Hoyt Satori, one of their new recurve bow, takedown recurve, which I like just because it's a little bit more transportable, and I could throw it in my suitcase if I wanted to. But anyways, I'm actually looking forward to kind of getting back into that, and I don't really plan on hunting with it per se, at least for elk and deer, probably for the next couple of years. But I want to get back into it and start shooting with it because it's completely different. It's a new learning curve, and it's just fun. It's just fun to shoot. I don't know how to explain it other than that.
Well, I think it helps my compound shooting for sure as well.
Yeah.
And just the strength building alone, when you're just having to pull constantly against that wall versus the quick let off that you get, it really helps to build strength, especially with a compound bow when you're having to hold, as you know, hold a draw, you know, for a minute or more. That's really, really tough. And with the long bow or the recurve, I think that strength is there maybe a little bit better. if you can shoot both.
Yeah, I would agree. And I found too that I'm a little bit better instinctually at maybe at judging distances or without using a rangefinder after shooting with a traditional bow. Do you kind of find the same thing too?
That's a good point. Yes. Yep.
Got it.
And that's another good thing about another requirement, if you will, of the skill level that you need to shoot a bow compared to a crossbow, which shoots very level comparatively, you know, out to, I guess, as far as 100 or more yards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a different ball game. Well, that's cool. Well, thanks for filling us in on that. That's interesting to hear that you're doing both, and hopefully you're building that shoulder back up for this fall.
So, yes, thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the Colorado Bow Hunters Association as far as a membership and kind of what that entails. What do you get if you become a member? Why should you become a member? How much does it cost?
Well, basically the membership is either an annual or a 3-year. You can buy a lifelong membership as well. That's available. But most people will buy the 1 year, and it's $35 for a family or an individual. And that basically will give you a magazine that's produced about 6 times a year. It will give you information on some of the legislative issues coming up that we're dealing with, that you need to be, or hunters need to be aware of. It includes a reduced price for our 3D events, like the Jamboree, the 3 events that we're running here in the West region. And the knowledge that the money is going towards everything for bow hunting. We're all volunteers. There's nothing, nobody paid. We do have some administrative stuff, but very little.
Got it.
And that goes towards the salary of a lobbyist, as well as helping pay for the magazine and so forth.
Got it.
And the events that we have, for instance, in my region, we have an event coming up at a new Colorado Parks and Wildlife shooting complex that is going to be an exciting place over the next probably 5 years or more, as far as the development. That's in Palisade, Colorado, May 18th and through the 20th. We have another shoot June 2nd and 3rd that's held in Newcastle. And again, working with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, they let us use their state wildlife area, the Garfield Creek State Wildlife Area, that normally you can't even get into until July, the regular public. Beautiful area. We've been doing that now. This will be our 4th year. And then hopefully, or we're planning on doing a shoot in Summit County, August 9th and 10th in the landfill area. I've been working with that, with Summit County landfill to hold that shoot. And then there's a big Jamboree, and that's July 20th through 22nd, and that's in Twin Lakes, Colorado, just south of Leadville.
Got
and,
it.
excuse me. That reminds me, there's a Father's Day shoot in Leadville also on Father's Day weekend every year. It's really a lot of fun.
Got it. Yeah, that's really cool. And unfortunately, this podcast, by the time it airs, it won't cover that first one in Palisade. So we'll just miss that a little bit. But all the other events will fall in that time frame. So for everyone who's listening, that definitely check out those events. I know that Newcastle one starts June 2nd and 3rd, and then you have events throughout the remainder of the summer as well. So that's really cool.
Yes, and people can get more information on our website, coloradobowhunting.org.
Got it.
Because there are other events throughout the state. There's one in North Park sometime in June also.
That makes sense.
That's a different area than mine.
And I see on some of the flyers and everything too, if you're not a member, it costs $45 for, let's say, one of these shoots, I think. I think that's for a lot of your shoots. But if you're a member, it's only $15. So basically, you know, if you're a member, that kind of pays for your membership right there if you were doing just one shoot.
That's right. And the $45 does include an annual membership for an individual or a family. So
yeah,
that makes it a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So one thing that kind of sparked my mind too, I was originally kind of thinking like this is going to be more geared for people who live in Colorado, but the more I think about it, this association really is a nationwide, or for anybody who hunts or has hunted in Colorado, because you guys are working and making a lot of decisions and, you know, money going back to this state, but there's a lot of people who don't live in Colorado who come here to hunt. So that was something that just kind of popped into my head. It's not just for people who live in Colorado. It's for anybody who recreates here and bow hunts here for big game. Is that kind of the thought process behind your membership?
Yes, definitely. In fact, we do have a few out of state members. When we were in Eagle at the event you and I met, there was a family that signed up from somewhere in Florida.
Really?
And so, yeah, yes. And I've seen memberships from, you know, Kansas, Nebraska, and other areas for sure.
Wow, that's really cool. Well, hopefully people that are listening, if you hunt in Colorado, definitely consider joining. And even if you can't get to some of these events, like Fred said, you're going to get the publication 6 times a year and, you know, be up to date and know that that money's going to a good cause to support the lifestyle and the heritage we love. So keep that in mind. So let's talk a little bit about the particulars of these events. I'm familiar with, what are those other, there's other kind of bow hunting events, where they shoot targets and everything. Tell us a little bit about, like, let's say I've heard of the one by Leadville or the Twin Lakes one. That's kind of one that's pretty well known, but talk to us about that event, like what the specifics of what it entails, how many targets you're dealing with, the course. What? Just give us a rundown of what these events look like if people want to attend.
Well, basically, one of the major events things about it is that it is very family oriented. We usually will have 6 different courses with probably anywhere from 20 or to 25 targets or more, and a total of about 130 targets. We'll have a kids shooting area. We'll have a sight-in area where people can shoot just at given distances at targets that are preset to set their pins and so forth. Excuse me. And it's the camping is very reasonable. Last year, I think it was $5 per camp and, you know, camping vehicle. And it's usually very well attended by vendors from anywhere from traditional archery to regular archery shops selling stuff at the event. There's usually and will be entertainment every Saturday night with the live band. It's a big deal and really a lot of fun. The courses themselves range from, like I mentioned, a kid's course up to a beginning course or an easier course, and then they go on up to an extreme course that's set up to really challenge the archers at different distances and obstructions that are normal in the woods when you're hunting. It's a really a great time to get together with people. It's very well attended. We also usually will have, or this year, I think it's, we'll have the kids camp, which has been very popular for years. It's very well attended also.
Yeah.
And usually the weather is perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Well, You know, you never know in Colorado, especially at that elevation, you're never out of a potential snowstorm, but it's probably not going to happen this year considering how dry it is.
Right, and or thunderstorms, but it's a large ranch, and so there's a lot of room for these courses and to spread people out. It's really a lot of fun.
Got it. And do you see guys also shooting traditional at these events? I mean, is there some pretty far shots? Can you kind of change things up? Is it how does that work?
Yeah, you can pretty much shoot from whatever distance you want, as far as everybody's being safe and knows where you are if you're going to be shooting a little bit closer to the target. But absolutely, there's traditional shooters, and we have a bunch of traditional shooters that are CBA members as well.
Got it. So for beginners, potentially, if they're not as comfortable, let's say, at taking a 50-yard shot, they can move up to where they feel comfortable and shoot from there. So that way everybody can still be involved.
Absolutely, and I think that's a good point too, is that there's no competition. The only competition is only between friends, of course, or
Yeah.
brothers and sisters. There's
Bragging
been some
rights.
intense relationships. Yes, but other than that, if there's no competition involved, so absolutely, you could come out, you shoot as close as you want to it. There's as long as everybody's safe and knows what's going on, yeah, it's just not a problem.
Got it.
A
And
lot of flexibility.
yeah. And you mentioned too, like there's vendors that come there and set up like a booth or are selling food vendors or product companies that come there and exhibit as well.
That's right. Yeah, for the whole weekend, there'll be a row of them that
Okay.
have their tents set up, and a couple of food trailers usually are there.
Very cool. Yeah, that's definitely going to be on my list to see which one is going to fit best with my schedule, and I'll definitely be making it out to one of those events. I just got to figure out which one's going to work the best for me. So plan on seeing me at one of them, Fred.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, definitely. Please call me and let me know you're coming.
Yeah, for
And I
sure.
can show you around
For sure. Yeah, that sounds great.
and
And
shoot around with you, maybe.
you'll probably kick my butt, so I better not. No, I'm just kidding. I'd love to shoot with you. So Fred, one thing I did see too was, do you guys have like a bow hunter swap or a flea market, so to speak, where people can kind of trade and sell used archery gear? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sometimes, yes, we'll do that at the Jamboree. We've tried to do that in the past, and sometimes it's just not very successful getting, the equipment to trade in and trade out. Where did you see that? Was that with Jamboree information?
Yeah, maybe it was an old publication or something I picked up a while ago, but I thought there was something along those lines that used to do those and have those for people to attend as well.
Yeah, I don't remember other than occasionally at the Jamboree, possibly that's been done, but I know we tried to do it maybe 3 years ago, and it just did not work out very well. Just very few people had showed up, but I may be wrong. We can certainly check into it.
No big deal. So you said what's the website again for CBA?
It's ColoradoBowhunting.org.
ColoradoBowhunting.org.
All run together.
Okay. And there you can log on, you can view all these events, you can you become a member that way? Can you do an online subscription to become a member?
That's correct. You can sign up online, or you can sign up at any of our events. And that's where most people sign up, I think, or at our events. And then you get information also on hunter education, which is a requirement in the state of Colorado. I'm a instructor for the state for hunter education as well. So, and several of our board members are instructors also. So that is another area that we cover.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, I definitely love the organization. I'm really glad we crossed paths, Fred, and hopefully this will spread the word a little bit further and gain some membership, because I feel like it's something, you know, as you mentioned earlier, and as we're seeing kind of at the forefront of hunting as a way of life and what we love to do, it's under attack. And if we can kind of, you know, band together, come together as sportsmen and bow hunters, and you know, good things will happen. And I'm really happy to be a part of it. And it's just been really good talking to you, Fred. And hopefully, we can have you back on for a future episode.
Thank you. I'd love to be back. I think to your comment you just made, it's really important that we get the youngsters involved, and that's something we're really, or I'm personally very involved with as well. As the CBA, it's really important to replace ourselves tenfold.
yeah. Before we drop off, what have you seen over the years? I mean, are you seeing a decline as far as the number of hunters and bow hunters? I mean, I know there's all this talk of, you know, oh man, all I see is hunters every time I go out there in the field or whatever. But from your perspective, have you seen a drop in kind of maybe membership and or you know, just people out there becoming more active with bow hunting?
I think that archery hunting has increased dramatically. So as archers, yeah, we definitely feel the pressure of a lot more hunters, but the overall, like you say, overall hunters are, I'm hearing statistics that I'm shocked, quite frankly, that it's like half of what it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know, we're like 4% of the population, and that's hunters total, never mind the tiny portion that are archery bow hunters. So, yeah, it's a situation that is, I don't know if scary is the word, but, you know, it's definitely something that is shocking to me, because it hit me hard, too, just realizing that there's so much opinion against what I was doing. And I, you know, that took a long time to figure that out. And when that hit, I went, whoa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a situation that is not good, because parks and wildlife, it depends on all that money to support all the wildlife, as we know, where there's no other funding, you know, that's doing that. So it's coming fast as far as trying to continue to do what we love to do.
For sure. More reason to join. That's a good message to leave us with, Fred. And real quick before we do jump off, what's on your books for 2018 season? Do you have any out of state trips planned for as far as hunting, or are you sticking around Colorado?
Yeah, I'm going to be sticking around Colorado this season, archery season, and I'm hoping to have some elk draw license for around Christmas time. And then hopefully either sex elk license for archery season, and then hopefully draw a deer license. So, and also might do an antelope hunt as well, if I'm real lucky.
Nice. Sounds like you'll have your hands full for this fall. I'm excited to see a bunch of pictures come over from you via text with trophy bulls and bucks.
I'd be happy to send them.
Well, cool. Well, I appreciate your time, Fred. Thanks again. And we'll talk to you soon. All right.
Very good. Thank you, Adam. Take care now.
And there we go. There it is. Another episode in the books. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. Very interesting conversation and a great learning experience for me. Thanks again, Fred, for coming on the show. And if you guys are listening, you know, keep some of those events that they have in mind coming up. They, you know, get on the website, like I said, check out all the different shoots that they're doing, all the different events. And, you know, even if you're not from Colorado, maybe you've got a vacation planned for this summer, and you know, maybe that might, you know, kind of line up with your trip and what you're doing out there. So definitely get involved if you can. I plan on attending at least one of those and getting my feet wet in that regard. Sounds like a lot of fun. It's a good experience just to get out there and shoot and practice those archery skills that we all need to improve on, or at least I do. I'm not going to speak for you guys, but for myself, it'll be good. So anyways, again, thanks to Fred and Colorado Bowhunters Association. If you like what you're hearing, like I said, subscribe. That would be much appreciated. We have the two feeds, as mentioned. The Western Big Game feed is the one that I'm on, so subscribe to that one if you want to get all the latest content and the podcast from Transition Wild. And leave us that 5-star review. That would be much appreciated. Again, shout out to Magstar67 who left us a review on iTunes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You'll be getting your hat, so make sure you contact me with your shipping and address information so I can get that out to you. And again, if you subscribe to Transition Wild, you're going to get that free guide. It's 5 Western DIY hunts for under $1,000 for you and a friend. So if you're still kind of on the fence or don't really have your plans quite figured out for 2018, go subscribe. It'll probably plant some seeds, get you thinking about some potential hunts that you can do for relatively cheap if you're, split some costs with a buddy or two. So do that. Be much appreciated. If you, leave me some feedback. If you have a chance, send me a contact on my website. Love to hear what you think of the podcast, what you want to hear. If you want to hear more strategy stuff, if you want to hear more gear stuff, if you want to hear more stories, I'm open to anything. This is about you guys. I want us to all learn together and for all of us to become better Western hunters. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. So appreciate you. Appreciate the hell out of you. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.